Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back. We'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM on this blustery, kind of dreary Friday morning.
It's a perfect pity party day.
This is, this is right. So tune in 1 to 3 p.m. this afternoon for Brian's saddest of the sad songs. Mm. This is, you're in the mood already. You just don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna keep things cheery today.
Hopefully.
I don't think we're going to get too sad.
Hopefully.
You feel like we might. By the way, I'm Michael Ells.
We're a Jays fan. There's always
Brian
a chance.
Svensson. And fingers crossed. Yes, this is true. Chris Zook yet to call in on the bullpen phone, but I'm going to keep my eye on that phone here in the dugout. We are looking at the year that was. This the season now with a little bit of hindsight. Now that I've cooled off from the fact that... several MAGA nationals crawled out of the woodwork.
That was a tough one for me too. I liked Kurt Suzuki and I liked Ryan Zimmerman.
Well,
especially.
This is the thing.
That was a tough one.
Suzuki, you know, started out on Oakland. Had always seemed like a fun guy. He did that great A's ad with Brandon McCarthy.
Yeah,
and then played for my Twins.
Yeah, he was with the. I think he was with the Braves for a while. And then he ended up on the Twins. Battery made of also another former Twin friend of mine, Phil Hughes.
Right. Yeah. And then went to the Nationals, and it was kind of one of those like, you know, guys who's been plugging away. And
yeah, he was a highly touted prospect at one point in time.
Yeah. So that one disappointed me.
Yeah, it sucked.
A few of them didn't necessarily surprise me.
I'm not necessarily surprised by any of them, but it doesn't mean it.
And this is
sucks. It still sucks.
This is something I'm. Learning is, and I shared this the other day on the At the Bench Jockeys Twitter account, that I guess it's not entirely surprising that a bunch of like millionaires
side with the guy who's giving them tax breaks.
Yeah. Have grown up doing one thing and very focused on that. It's the Doolittles of the world are the exception, unfortunately.
Yeah, but. You know,
but it's possible. He proves that you can, you know, make a bunch of money and not feel that way.
Yeah, exactly.
We were going to start out strong.
You're supposed to. Yeah,
I was talking about hindsight. It's just because we have some distance from the season now, and so we can kind of look back on it with a little bit of clarity. And we wanted to kind of hand out some awards. We will plug the fact that next Friday, since it is. December, believe it or not, Sunday is December 1st. I'm
very
wrapping
excited.
My head around that.
Very excited.
That is essentially when I start actually thinking, yes, Christmas is around the corner. And so we're going to do our Christmas wish lists for our franchises.
Next week.
Want to plug that. Remind you to
tune in.
It'll
be a super fun episode.
I think that'll be even more positive than this one, just because wishes are...
Always. There's always hope.
There's hope springs eternal, and this is the hot stove season's Raison d'être. But yeah, we're gonna hand out some awards, and I know that Brian, he's got his notebook open, he's got his pen in hand, he's been chewing on the back end of it as he mulls things over here.
Of course,
I'm gonna fly by the seat of my pants. I have some ideas of who I'm gonna award things to, but
okay.
I'm kind of much more intuitive, I guess, or
sure.
Like just really not giving it a as mulling it over as much.
So are we going by the official MLB categories, or do you have some fun ones?
I think we should do... Do you want to alternate between, like, fun ones and like, official ones?
Absolutely.
So I know last week we got into it about the MVP.
Right.
And this is the, like, old man yells at cloud stats versus...
That's... Well, you know, we're not going to relitigate that
argument.
We're
not going to relitigate it. But... I think it's pretty clear you would give the MVP to Mike Trout.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Excuse me. Okay, hold on. Is this Chris Suk calling in?
Yes, it is.
Just in time. We're just setting up. We're doing our year-end awards, some of them the official ones and some of them some non-official ones. And so we're starting with MVP. We're not going to relitigate last week's you debate about what value is.
Yes.
As I was just about to say,
Brian was wrong. It's all good.
I'm certain that he's about to hand this one to Mike Trout for himself.
Fishman, very, very good.
So this I get.
Is this just the AL MVP or like MVP totally?
Do we want to split it?
We can split it.
Okay, so if we're if we're going to NL,
it's our show.
We can do this. This is true.
Let's split it.
Let's fly by the seat of our pants. So if we're splitting it, who do you have in the NL?
In the AL or the NL? The NL, I got.
The AL, I know who you have.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger.
You got Cody?
He had an incredible season. You could have made an argument for Christian Yelich.
That's who I would go with.
You could have easily made an argument for Jacob deGrom, I think. But yeah, I think I'd go with Cody Bellinger. You know, he played incredible defense and had great offense. You know, for a guy that I never thought was going to be a good defender, you know, spent a lot of his time in his rookie season playing first base. He turned into an incredible defender to supplement that bat, and he was electric. You could easily make an argument for any of those three guys, Bellinger, Yelich, or DeGrom, and I wouldn't argue with you. They all ended up on exactly 7.9 Fangraph wins above replacement. So pick whichever one of the three.
Baseball Reference War. Bellinger actually has the edge over everyone with a 9.
Ooh, well, I don't like B-War. It improperly values defense, in my opinion.
So, he gets a 9, Bregman at 8.4, but DeGrom 7.9 and Yelich 7.1. I think Bellinger was fantastic, but, and this maybe skews towards my way of putting value versus outstanding or best player, is that Yelich really, like, you could see that the Brewers scuffled somewhat by losing him.
Yeah.
Right? And so it proved just how valuable he was, and he followed up an MVP season with another one. MVP
yeah, I mean,
season.
Like, if you give him the MVP in that regards, then yeah, I mean, like, he's a back-to-back MVP. The guy is...
And I know he didn't play in several games, but he played, I think, enough of the season that we got a sense that...
One of the five best players in baseball.
And there's no difference, to be honest. We'll go into the AL, and Brian will talk about Trout. Yelich would be in the same position. I'm going to go totally off the reservation because I do agree on any one of those three, but I'm going to say, how about this one? Pete Alonso.
He's winning another award for me a little bit later.
I know. Yeah, I'm just wondering about this, right? Where the best be if he didn't do what he was doing this year? And also,
the problem
honest,
with that is I don't even think he's the most valuable player on his own team.
Oh, I don't. I'm not going to go down the DeGrom route there. I mean, DeGrom was good in the second half. But anyways, here's my question here about this. I actually just also like him as the personality. We always talk about personalities, right? This guy was awesome this year. He was great just for the memes and just for him being who he was and a breath of fresh air where the Mets season was a train wreck there. But I would agree. Any one of those three, I would lean towards Yelich of those top three, but I thought I'd throw in there Pete Alonso. Why not?
No, I mean, he certainly, like, pretty much...
I mean, he set a rookie record.
Yeah, he was a good, great baseball player. He was fantastic.
He's fantastic.
He's a lot of fun to watch.
And that came out of, I mean, people knew he was going to be good, but my goodness, did anyone really foresee that one?
No.
Like, of what he was going to do, right? And just imagine if they actually had somewhat of a team there, right? They had their spurts this year, but they just never could get it fully going, right? So, anyways, yeah. So I mean... Would you actually go with Trout for the AL, Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Fishman, very, very, very good.
So surprising.
He's the best player in baseball.
Let's not. We're not going there. Look at this. You see how he stokes the fire there?
He might even be the best player of all time.
Well, you did admittedly stoke the fire, too.
Okay. All right. Barry Bonds is on the other line here. Come on. Jeez,
sorry, come talk to me about Barry Bonds when he doesn't take steroids in order to enhance that talent.
Allegedly.
No, not all allegedly. Right. He got caught.
Mm. Did he? Anyways, let's not go down this path. We're going to go down rabbit hole. Michael, who would be yours?
So I said Yelich.
No, for AL.
Oh, for the AL, Bregman.
Okay. So I'm going to go with someone who is on that same team, but I'm going to go and say Verlander.
That's actually,
that's
not
a bad call either.
I do think a lot of the times the pitchers get the short shrift, and we talked about this last week with the Space Jam theory.
They never get it.
If you got one game, you're going to hand it to the pitcher.
Right.
Right. They never get it on these awards. It's very similar to the MVP, let's say in football. It's always
quarterback,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and so and that's why this is the beauty of it, right?
I mean, Verlander stole an MVP award from my boy Jose Bautista a few years ago, so.
Well, but look at his numbers, right? Look at what he did this year. In 5-10 years, we'll rank that as, you know, right up there with all these years. I mean, I just, like you were saying, Michael, you give it to one guy, who did you want to give it to? I mean, geez. I mean, there was two amazing pitchers on that staff this year, right? But I would say Verlander. I just think what he did this year was just at his age and all of it, right? I just loved what he was doing this year, and I mean, you know, postseason aside, but in the regular season, he was, he was the ace.
Fair.
That's I think there's a very strong case to be made for a pitcher being the most valuable. Like you said, the Cy Young. There is like a dedicated award for pitchers, but it doesn't necessarily equate to like it almost. Pushes pitchers to the side and says, "Oh yeah, you've got this award.
Yeah.
You're not considered valuable, or at least your case for it is made lesser." But the fact is, like, when these pitchers go out there and dominate, like that, no one controls the game more.
I think that is longer. Like, that is a problem with having narrative awards like that, right? Like most valuable. I think that is inherently the problem with it. In that, you know. When you do have an award for best pitcher, that there are a fair share of like old school writers that are like, okay, well, you've got your award, so I'm not going to vote for you.
Right. They'll never vote for MVP for a pitcher or won't give them, you know, top ballot for sure. Right. Yeah. There's a skew for that. And I don't know. And I'll be honest too, is you could actually have a Cy Young Award winner and could be a different MVP. Like this year, Gerrit Cole could have been the Cy Young Award winner and Verlander could have been the MVP in different ways. If you looked at it, you know, in different prisms, right? I mean, what both of those guys did on that team is exceptional, right? And it's a fine line between sort of which one would get either one or both or none, right? And so, yeah, I just thought Verlander for me was kind of a, you know, he put up those numbers for MVP season.
So, jumping off our discussion of like outstanding versus valuable, our fun category, the first one I'm proposing is MOFH. Which is most outstanding facial hair.
Oh.
And my vote this year goes to Danny Espinosa, who had an amazing beard season. I don't know if you saw. I'll share it on the At the Bench Jockeys Twitter account, but there is some glorious photos of his beard. He is he's blessed with volume as well as, depth. It's a fantastic beard. I'm going to give it to Danny Espinoza. I don't know if anyone springs to mind for you, because I am dropping this category on you guys right now.
I agree. Now, you need to be by computer, and I'm not. So the Dodgers, am I saying, is it Turner who had the huge beard? Justin Turner.
That beard is a thing of beauty as well.
That's ridiculous. That's good facial hair.
You know, the ginger, the yes, color, the
exactly
color certainly helps,
that.
Right?
Yes. So it stands out to see.
An Eric the Red Viking style beard, that's for sure.
Whew. This is tough. I mean, you are just kind of dropping it, but man, that's a tough one. I do always like Jake Arrieta's beard.
He's rocked a very strong beard for several seasons. In fact, like if it was,
you can't go wrong with Chuck Nasty, Charlie Blackman. I think that's another
good one.
And yeah, who's also had the beard for several years too. I appreciate the long-term commitment some of these guys have.
I will say this: if we have a Hall of Fame there, you know, Rollie Fingers was.
Well,
the first
I mean
Dusty.
That's
I mean, that goes without saying.
John Axford's another one that gets in that category as well.
Rollie is the Mo Rivera of you know, if he doesn't get 100% of the vote on the
right
first ballot,
there should be a recount on that. Yes. Yeah.
But you know, I'm gonna go in a different direction. It's got to be about the sculptedness, the well groomedness of it as well. It's got to have volume, but you've got to take care of it. And for that, I'm going with Bryce Harper.
Okay, I'm not surprised.
The curse of Bryce Harper.
It's a magnificent beard. His hair beard combo is the best in the league.
Okay, so we'll add some pictures of this on the Bench Jockeys. Rookie of the Year. You already teased it. I think you did.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going by league, it's Brandon Lowe in the AL for me, and then Pete Alonso in the NL. I can't, in good conscience, give an award to any Astro this year, considering what we found out about their team.
Oh, yes.
Especially any Astro hitter. I just can't do it, considering that they might have been cheating the entire season. So in the AL, I'm giving it to Tampa Bay Rays second baseman Brandon Lowe, who was outstanding this year. And there's no argument for me. Pete Alonso was one of the five most fun players in baseball this year and the best rookie in the National League.
Yeah, Alonso, I think, is the no.
Pete Alonso, I think, is around the board, right?
Yeah, I can't imagine it giving to anyone else in the NL this year. It was pretty much like tape to tape kind of winner.
Finish his whole season. That would have been interesting, right?
Pardon me?
If Tatis, right?
That's true. I mean, certainly.
Right, if he would have had a whole season, he was doing really well. And so, I mean, even then, I still think it's Pete Alonso just because of the record and everything else he brought to the game a bit this year. But it would have been a bit more interesting. I think this is pretty much a slam dunk because he didn't play a whole season.
That is very true. I mean, certainly, like, It affects things, right? Like if you don't play the whole season, first of all, counting stats are different because you're just not racking them up. But you know, like as it was when the results were posted, Tatis got third. It was Mike Soroka who placed second.
Right. Don't mind that.
Tatis would have been second, I think, if he had to play the whole season. But that's the whole thing. Pete Alonso also, him playing the whole season gets him the record, right? He gets the record on the last weekend, right? That should be rewarded, too, to play out the season. And you know, he had a full rookie season and broke the record. And I think he definitely is the deserving winner on that.
So on the AL side then, Zouk, do you penalize the actual winner, Yordan Alvarez, because of all that we've learned about the Astros?
You know what? I hate to agree with Brian here on this one. He might be right. I mean, Alvarez, I mean, the problem is it's allegedly, so it's hard to... Alvarez had an amazing year. I would say, I mean, he didn't play the full season. Bo Bichette. I mean,
I don't think Bo was the best Blue Jays.
You know what's funny? So
Oh, really?
No, it's Cavan. It's Cavan Biggio.
Really? Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing is Cavan placed fifth.
I guess
in the actual
the three
voting
of them, plus Vladdy. I guess, but Vladdy would have been the bottom of the three. Yeah, I mean, Alvarez, I guess, but there's an asterisk sort of there a bit. It's a tough one.
That's why I gave it to Brandon Lowe. I thought for a second about giving it to Jordan Means, but his peripherals were so awful that I just couldn't bring myself to
John Means, the Baltimore pitcher?
Yeah, John Means.
Yeah, no, certainly. The other one that I considered, and it kind of pains me to say this as someone who plays against him in the AL Central, but Eloy Jimenez.
He was pretty good as well.
Was pretty good for the White Sox. And it was a tough year for the Sox.
He had a really good year. I like what he did.
The stats that he managed to rack up on a pretty terrible team. You know, there's not much surrounding him.
No.
So for him to do that, you know, he wasn't protected. So for him to accomplish what he did, I think is actually...
It's a solid argument.
Pretty...
And you know what? He's going to be really good next year if he doesn't have the sophomore slump, right? About, you know, they're building a really... Seems like they're building a pretty good team there.
Yeah, the White Sox have been active on the offensive side of the ball. And so, yeah, conceivably, he will have some protection. And I think... that will maybe mitigate any sophomore slump issues because he won't have to. It's not all on his back, right? Whereas this year, pretty much everything he accomplished was on his own terms.
What's the next fun category, Mike?
Next fun category is Web Gem of the Year.
Whew.
And again, this we'll end up sharing these on the old Instagram, Twitter, but. Can you think of one standout play?
Okay. I got one. Now, because I don't have the computer in front of me and I don't know the name, you guys will get it real quick. It was the last game of the season. It was the Baltimore outfielder who goes basically over the wall in Fenway to catch the home run. I can't remember his name. I don't know who it was. But this, you have to see it. But the way he jumps up and catches the ball, because it's a short fence, right? It's Fenway in the outfield there, and that he kind of somehow miraculously not only catches the ball but keeps himself in the ballpark is pretty amazing. So I don't have it. I don't. Yeah, I'm hoping that gives you some reference there, Michael.
Sure. Yeah,
no, Mike Smith Jr.
I will find that one. I'll try.
But do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I think
now?
I remember that because that was like late in the year, so it was like
almost one of the last plays of the season. It was like the last day, the last game, Boston against Baltimore, and no one was watching that. But I've seen that multiple times on the highlights after the fact, and I just was marveled by that catch.
So here's a question: would you count anything from the postseason?
Oh sure,
sure. Why not?
Okay, so then. I would probably pick Carlos Correa's first out in Game 2 of the ALDS. His crazy play on Yandy Diaz's hopper that somehow he got to and then threw across his body for the out. Because a lot of times when you think of web jam, you think of like an outfield play. Right? Like some sort of like leaping catch to rob a home run or like the... racing in from way out to dive in and make the catch. This one really seemed like we were going to get a man on base, and he somehow, like, first of all, got his glove on the ball, and then...
It was a good catch.
You know, for him to throw a cross body.
It was a good catch.
And that's the kind of thing, like, as much as we talked about not giving the Astros something... there was no signal to steal.
No,
this was like
no. That's why I don't mind. That's why I don't mind giving awards to Astros pitchers. I just adverse to giving it to Astros.
Sure,
hitters.
Sure. Yeah,
yeah. I'm going to give mine to Ramon Laureano during the Mike Fiers no hitter game. The home run he stole from Joey Votto.
Oh yeah.
Sixth inning. He's got a no hitter going. Joey Votto crushes one, and Ramon Laureano brings it back with an incredible backhanded catch. That's it for me. I mean, it's the context, it's the play itself, it's everything about it was just perfect.
Okay, that's a good one.
And you know, keeps the no hitter going.
Keeps the no hitter going, and it's Ramon Laureano who I just. I mean, that guy is a web gem factory.
That guy's a web gem.
I mean,
candidate for a Hall of Famer down the road here. He's got a couple already.
He had two, I think, he had two of my top 10. in my opinion. The other one I would have put up was the one where he took that home run away from Teoscar Hernandez and then doubled up Justin Smoke.
If we were like putting together, like if you were saying, okay, let's put together our ideal baseball player, like you would draft his arm.
Yeah, of course you would.
Oh, his arm is, oh my God, that's a laser. It's a laser.
Okay, so we're going to look at Cy Young. And I mean, I don't know if we, I feel like we might agree with how things shook out, or at least be on the same page with this.
I mean, in the NL, I'm going DeGrom. I don't know. Is that a round table agreeal?
I think DeGrom, yes.
And then I think in the AL for me, I think you guys are both on Verlander, right?
Yeah.
I'd give it to Gerrit Cole, so,
yeah,
but I'm not. I don't hate the Verlander choice.
Right? I think that's, you know, you can make a case either way on both those guys. The peripherals on those two were unbelievable.
It's a coin toss between the two of them.
Yeah, I don't disagree with giving either one from the Cy Young. They were both amazing.
Both deserving.
Yeah,
that would have been a year if they do it. I mean, it's almost impossible. But if you're going to have Coe, and no one likes Coe, but I mean, you really could split that award. It was that amazing what these both of them did this year.
Yeah,
right?
I think they probably could have. That's not a bad idea. I like that.
It's a hard one, right? A lot of people don't like that, and because of the voting, it would almost be impossible, right? You know, they just have to have the same vote count, right? But in this year, it's. Boy, you could make, and it'll be interesting wherever Cole goes, and that's, you know, we'll talk about the hot stove down the road here, but I mean, that's going to be the fascinating thing is wherever he's going to go, what he's going to do next, you know, and to keep from this season, right? Because Verlander's there. I mean, Verlander, I mean, that's a Hall of Fame career now. Like, he kind of, he's been reborn sort of in Houston, and geez, that guy's good for another, it looks like two or three more years for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we'll go to another fun one then, since we seem to be agreement on the old Cy Young ones. Best walk-up song.
Do we have to pick a specific player or like?
Well, yeah, I think the if you can associate the player with the song, all means.
Okay. I've got to do a little bit of research on this. So why don't you start us off?
I know. So I did put you on the spot here. I think I'm going to have to go with Chris Bryant of the Chicago Cubs, who at one point this season was walking up to Chris Cross's Warm It Up.
I love Chris Cross.
Wow.
It wasn't even...
It's not even the big
It's
hit.
Not even
the
big...
One.
It's a deeper
the
cut
one.
From Chris Cross. It's an old school hip-hop pick, right? Because, like, you know, there's
Chris
so
Cross.
Many guys picking, like, Meek Mill or Travis Scott or, like, you know, a lot of really contemporary hip-hop artists. For Chris to, like, go back in time and not only pick Chris Cross, but to just, like, go against the grain and pick the other Chris Cross track, I thought was pretty solid.
That is... Okay, I'll do the obvious one because it was the one all year for the Nats, right? The Baby Shark.
Baby Shark!
Of course, you know. I mean, geez, my goodness. Like, that was a phenomenon, right? Like... just ridiculous. And you know what that is?
That phenomenon is now moving to Japan, unfortunately.
Well, that's fair enough. They'll be doing Baby Shark out there. Hey, they got a World Series trophy out of it, right?
It's true.
Not because of that. But I mean, just that spirit of that, right? I mean, it really changed that season a bit. These guys kind of embraced that. And, I mean, they were doing it at the Victory Celebration Parade, right? So, I mean, that seems like a very obvious one this year.
Yeah, I kind of figured someone would go with
that one.
All right, I think I've got mine.
Nice.
You've got yours?
I got mine. Fernando Tatis Jr.
Uh-huh.
walks out to ABBA's Fernando.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
That is a solid, that's solid.
Now, here's the question. My question about this, is this literally the players doing it now, or is it still the organization?
No, they pick.
Is it pretty much it's the players, right, that are doing this, right?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I mean, obviously, crazy. Within reason, there's certain songs that I'm sure the PA people...
I don't really know that there is, because Mike Trout spent the whole year walking up the sicko mode, so I think they
right,
just
but there's
censor
gotta be
something
it. About language and stuff, some content.
Yeah, and so, like, Giancarlo Stanton would come up on his odd at-bats to a customized edit of Travis Scott's Don't Play.
Right.
Right? That, like...
Right.
There's... I do appreciate that. I mean,
Giancarlo Stanton comes up to two different ones, and it's based on whether it's an odd or even.
There's a couple guys that do that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Bryce Harper's got a different one for every single one of his four at-bats during a game. Aaron Judge also does odd and even. Christian Yelich does odd and even. So, yeah, I think that's really cool.
What about, do we have, because the relievers used to do, you know, Sandman for Rivera.
Oh, right, Broxton right. used to come out to Iron Man. I think Papelbon used to come up to shipping out to
Heath Bell came to Hell's Bells.
Right.
I don't know any.
Do relievers have these now? Like, I'm just wondering about that one.
The thing is we don't get to know that much anymore because as soon as there's the manager starts to walk to the mound, they go to commercial break. So we hardly ever get to
find
out.
Really don't get that.
I'm just wondering if someone's. It's got to be somewhere on the internet. I just thought those are cool with the pitchers, right? I mean, that's kind of cool too, right? It was such an iconic thing when these guys came on.
We can put those on our wish list for next week. So, Chris Zook, you're on point here. We're gonna add that to the wish list. What would we choose for our closer to come out to? We're gonna leave you with Chris Cross's Warm It Up here.
Yeah,
and we'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in to the Bench Jockey. Stick around for Democracy Now.